Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know, he walks like this. So the team's got to reflect that.
The man, Steve Cole, beat her!
Hello, I'm John Pollock, and welcome to our special post-wrestling presentation of The Man They Call Vader. On Monday night, several hours before millions of Americans would sit down for their weekly ritual of the WWE's Monday Night Raw program, the final breath withdrew from one of the industry's most seminal big men, an athlete that tore down borders with his aggressive style, adjusting to the many climates that wrestling occupies, and finding success all over the world. On Monday, June 18th, the wrestling world lost Leon Vader White.
From Denver, Colorado, the first American to ever win the World Cup in Europe, former professional football player with the Los Angeles Rams, he weighs in at 370 pounds, Leon Bull Power White.
Leon was a great player at Colorado. Colorado for years was in the Big 8 Conference along with my Oklahoma Sooners. So Leon's reputation as a big, strong football player preceded the wrestling by years.
It's a cliche example. The football player that blows out a knee and sets out on the wild path labeled professional wrestling. After a year stuck in neutral, where Leon White nearly became the man they call a real estate agent, White ventured to Minnesota. And it's hardly a surprise that he was put into contact with Brad Rangins, a retired Greco-Roman wrestler that twice represented the U.S. at the Olympics and had a hand in training a wide array of athletes looking at professional wrestling as their second act. Rangins was the bridge between Leon White to professional wrestling, and in Minnesota, professional wrestling meant Vern Gagne and the AWA, and the birth of the Baby Bull.
Big Leon Baby Bull White. He weighs heavier than the earthquake, and look at the condition. He's tough and he's rugged. This man, Bell High School, Los Angeles, Big 8, All-American. He presses, sports fans, five, you weightlifters. Are you ready? 550, warm-up, 550.
A constant throughout White's career was his ability to travel and adapt. If there was a promoter that would be sold on White's 8x10 alone, it would be Catch Wrestling Association promoter and star attraction, Otto Vons. White was quickly exported for the world to see, and it opened eyes in a hurry. By 1987, Leon White was being sought after by New Japan Pro Wrestling, with his contractual rights obtained by the promotion with big plans. Enter Big Van Vader and his iconic appearance. Chris Charlton is a Japanese historian and author of Eggshells, Pro Wrestling in the Tokyo Dome.
Vader was coming in as kind of the ringer. He'd been built up for a while as part of like the Takeshi Pro Wrestler Gundam. And like Takeshi Pro Wrestler Gundam was, if you're familiar with who beat Takeshi as the movie director and the sort of comedian, Big Van Vader was being hyped by Master Saito for quite some time, and Saito had suggested Vader. The original gimmick was supposed to go to Jim Hellwig, and like Hellwig got picked up by the WWF.
Jordan Breen is the host of The Jordan Breen Show on Between Rounds Radio.
If Jim Hellwig had ended up going to New Japan Pro Wrestling and being Big Van Vader,
it's just Big Van Vader, those three words, or maybe even just the five letters Vader, they would mean something different entirely to us.
That's what led to Big Van Vader debuting in Sumo Hall on December the 27th, I believe it was, 1987. You know, he comes out at the end after the main event gets changed on them about two or three times, and the crowd are already pissed off with the Takeshi Gundan antics. And then finally, here comes Vader, this very imposing guy in this big sort of almost like a steampunk-like mask.
I pray to God that there's someone out there that has copped that original or one of the original Mastodon hoods. That is the... For me, that is the greatest piece of pro wrestling gear in the history of time. Like, nothing tops that for me.
And he beats Inoki in a couple of minutes. Inoki had already wrestled a tag match, so he had to sort of get out there.
He hadn't even wrestled for New Japan yet. That's insane.
And they rioted, including setting a light to the cushions that they had on the ground and throwing them at the ring. It was quite an ugly scenario.
Like, Inoki just lasted like 4 minutes and got completely crushed like this? Pardon me? Why? How? Let's start throwing chairs at each other.
They hustled Vader out to a waiting car, and it was... in many ways, the right kind of heat, the wrong kind of heat, and literal heat from the fire that was being started in the crowd.
They would eventually return to the venue in 1989, but that same year saw the opening of Japan's newest stadium, the Tokyo Dome, and it would be New Japan that would present the first wrestling card on April 24th, 1989. On that night, it was Big Van Vader who defeated Masahiro Chono, Tatsumi Fujinami, and Shinya Hashimoto to become the first U.S.-born IWGP heavyweight champion with his first of three reigns as champion.
Yeah, I mean, he had that big impact from the debut, and then he was able to build on that through 88 to the point where people bought into him as, okay, he is the lead foreign monster, you know, at this point, where foreign monsters were very, very highly regarded.
Vader had become such an international star that navigated several major promotions, including a period in late 1989 where he held the IWGP heavyweight title for New Japan, the Catch Wrestling Association heavyweight title in Austria and Germany, and became the UWA heavyweight champion in Mexico. As White entered the decade of the 90s, it was only a matter of time before one of the major U.S. promotions would come calling, and it was World Championship Wrestling. As Jim Ross recalls, there was one specific match that caught the eye of their booking committee.
When I saw the tape of he and Stan Hansen, where Hansen popped Leon's eye.
When I got to a point where I actually had 28.8 or 56K internet, I can remember finally thinking, oh my God, now I can watch the video where Vader's eye pops out of its socket.
And I watched that whole match, and I know Jim Corrett and I were on that booking committee together, I think at that time. And both of us looked at other tapes, probably the only guys on the committee that did it in those days.
Like, this is one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. This dude's eyeball just came out of his head. And keep in mind, he's wrestling Stan Hansen. There is no quarter. The roar of that crowd when Vader tears his mask off because he literally can't stand the pain from the leather pushing back against his cheekbone and against his orbital socket knocked me over with a feather.
スタン・ハンセンがベルトよりもベイダーを倒すんだ。そんなバンテージも右に、ルインされました。ビッグバンベイダー、やる気のビッグバンベイダーの気持ちは分かるんですが、それがちょっと空回りしているか今日のベイダー。さあ、眼底骨折のこの影が 長くこれベイダーに乗しかかっています。さあこれくるって回った、くるって回って200キロ200キロで押し潰せ。しかしタン・ハンセン返す。
That is one of the best crowd reactions I've heard to anything. That crowd reacts as though, you know, the rapture had happened.
And we were just fascinated. So, you know, we made a play for them. And hey, look, they've been on the road. They've been traveling internationally. They had a chance to come home, have a base at home, sit in their bed more often than not, et cetera, et cetera. And so we got them.
Ladies and gentlemen, his opponent making his debut in World Championship Wrestling from parts unknown. Weighing 399 pounds, Big Van Vader.
5 months after the bout with Hansen, Vader debuted for World Championship Wrestling in July at the Great American Bash. As he attempted to balance commitments between the two, WCW didn't go all the way with Vader until he focused full-time on WCW.
You may be cock of the walk throughout the British Isles and Europe, but you have not been introduced to the House of Pain and the man that owns the house.
Oh yeah, Davy boy, take a look at the man. Take a look at the king of the world. Take a look at the heavyweight champion of the world. And even though we walk through the valley of the WCW, we have no fear because we own the valley. Every wrestler that steps in the ring with Big Van Vader has to pay with their blood, sweat, and their tears. And brother, let me tell you, you too must pay with your blood, sweat, and your tears.
Through the pairing with multiple-time NWA champion Harley Race as his manager, Vader became the top heel in the company in quick fashion. At a time when business was dismal and the air was out of the sails at WCW, Vader infused energy wherever he was on the card through sensational matches with the likes of Sting, Ric Flair, and Cactus Jack, to name a few.
Sting trying to pick it up! A great move by Sting! Get the big man off his feet! That was a great martial arts move by Sting!
He got the big man off his feet!
Caught him again! And Vader down! He caught him right in the face with his foot, and Sting takes the big man down on two consecutive offensive moves.
Sting and Leon had a real unique dynamic. You had everything in place to draw money.
Those are the best matches of Sting's entire career. Sting is still working to this goddamn day. His best matches came in 1991 and 1992. With Big Van Vader.
Because Sting was the classic babyface that knew how to sell. He was over. The people cared about him, which is the main thing. The audience cared about him. And I think they generally felt that he was in peril. He was in jeopardy stepping in the ring against Leon. And quite frankly, he might have been.
Vader always wore the rep of someone that each opponent knew who they had been in the ring with, leaving a piece of themselves in the ring that night. The physicality displayed came through the screen, contributing to the aura that Vader commanded, regardless of WCW's bizarre ideas.
Stinger!
Vader, nice place you have here. Reminds me of your personality. Cold.
Very funny, Sting.
What's up?
You're here to accept the challenge of Vader. Are you ready to play the game? You know what a strap match is? Well, I'm gonna show you Vader style.
To emphasize Vader's bargaining power, while with WCW, he was able to strike a deal with the UWFI organization in Japan, leading to a major stadium showdown in December of 1993 against Nobuhiko Takada.
WCW had the New Japan relationship, but Vader was able to take on his own bookings with UWF, because he was one of the few people. Vader was like that, the Steiners were like that, Hogan was like that, that were able to sort of control their own bookings when it came to Japan. So here's this guy that everybody had assumed was a New Japan guy when it came to Japan, and here he is for UWF. It really speaks to how good of a performer he was that he was able to fit into that environment, I think.
The WCW champion, Vader, submitted to Takada at Jingu Stadium just weeks before he would headline WCW's signature event, Starrcade.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The tide of WCW took a big turn in 1994 with the signing of Hulk Hogan, 1 year removed from his exit from the World Wrestling Federation and keeping his name around in wrestling through sporadic dates with New Japan before signing an incredibly lucrative deal with WCW.
The early Hogan era of WCW is one of the most pathetic, sad, schizophrenic, politically motivated eras that you could possibly inhabit.
Vader was the natural rival for Hogan, a program that wrote itself and a pattern that Hogan dined on throughout the decade of the 80s and into the 90s. It was a visual story that jumped off the screen with the mere sight of the two nose-to-nose. However, this wasn't to be, as the two had a program marred by directionless booking, ego-appeasing finishes, and a reluctance to let Vader be Vader.
If that's 7 or 8 years earlier, I think Hogan probably braves it out and has, like, an incredible run with Vader, and they probably have, like, a WrestleMania match, and it's probably going to be one of the best WrestleMania main events ever.
By the summer of 1995, Vader seemed out of favor, and a backstage brawl with agent Paul Orndorff sealed Vader's fate as WCW was out of the Big Van Vader business. It only seemed logical where Leon White would land.
Federation. Vader has completely lost it. Dylan, Vader completely losing it.
I was very excited to bring Leon to WWE with our talent relations team. We all the guys that were there in that regard that had product knowledge, and some of the creative people had, Leon was, again, that perceived as a good get. You know, he was a big, rugged heel that was easy to cast in a scenario. He had Cornette as his manager. It's like Brock Lesnar having Paul Heyman.
And Shawn Michaels, Ahmed Johnson, this Sunday in Vancouver at the International Incident, we're going to get a lot of shots in. Because you see this man right here, Ahmed? He's the only man that's ever beat you. Pinned your shoulders to the mat. 1, 2, 3. The man they call Vader. He's the heavy hitter.
The reputation of Vader preceded him. He was known as a guy that had incredible athletic gifts, but he let everything count in the ring, and key people in positions of power were not going to open the necessary doors for a smooth transition.
Leon was a big, rugged, physical guy, obviously. He knew that him to be a finesse guy, people would laugh at it, he'd never get over. So he had to bring his business, and he worked very snug.
Bret Hart worked alongside Leon White in 1996 and 97 in the World Wrestling Federation.
You know, he always had that reputation for being a guy that was quite physical in the ring. I know Shawn Michaels had problems with him for being too stiff and too dangerous in the ring. And, some people like it, some people don't, but it was never that big of an issue for me. I was comfortable with both styles.
A scheduled run with the title was rescinded, and it was Psycho Sid that got the run with the championship before the end of the year, swapping it back and forth with Shawn Michaels.
I made the biggest mistake of my life. I trained. Look at me. I'm so big. Maybe better time's over. I'm nothing but a big piece of shit. A big fat piece of shit.
Well, ho.
Vader never acclimated well with the World Wrestling Federation. He was not aligned politically, he was north of 40, the wear and tear on his body was catching up, as were the numbers on the scale.
You know, he played football, and he played in the NFL, and big-time college football, strong style in Japan. You know, he's not a finesse guy. And I think that Leon's injury started catching up with him there. And, we had issues with his weight. But Yokozuna as well, and it wasn't because we were trying to fat shame anybody. We're at the point where we couldn't get them licensed. And if you can't get licensed in one state, the other athletic associations, athletic commissions, wouldn't let you work. So I remember sending both Leon and Yokozuna to the Duke weight loss clinic at Duke University in North Carolina. I got this first report, and they come back, and they're about a week at that time, and they had gained weight. And so upon further review, we did one of these CSI investigations, and we found out that they were sneaking out at night and going to get chicken.
By the middle of 1998, Vader was done with the company. He was at a low point of his career. The U.S. wrestling scene had not embraced Vader the past few years, and he looked abroad. It was Shohei Giant Baba, owner and promoter of All Japan Pro Wrestling, that recruited White with the hopes of getting one more run out of the character that still carried weight within the country.
When Vader comes on, this guy who's worked for New Japan, worked for UWF, and then UWFI sort of segued into New Japan, and then Vader worked that great match in 1996 with Inoki. So still the fan perception is he's a New Japan guy if he's in Japan. So then when he comes into All Japan, here that breaking down of the walls instantly gains more credibility, because they're not getting just anybody from abroad. They're getting a big name like Vader to come in, and he was fantastic in that role.
I love being back in Japan. I love wrestling for this company because the best competition's here. But you hear the fans; they understand about wrestling. You know, we go out there sure to entertain, but we go out there to fight. And the Japanese fans, they understand. They know the difference. If the American wrestlers come over here, WWF, WCW, these fans will laugh at them. It's a soap opera. It's a cartoon. We fight, they understand that, and we appreciate that.
And I think very much understood the All Japan house style as well as the New Japan house style, and how different they were at the time. And just some of those performances with Kobashi and with Misawa on the Giant Baba Memorial Show in the Tokyo Dome is one of my favorites to watch. Yeah, a fantastic stretch.
It led to one of the great runs of his career, having classic matches with Kenta Kobashi, Mitsuharu Misawa, Akira Taue, headlining the Tokyo Dome, winning the Champion Carnival Tournament, and the Triple Crown Championship on two occasions, becoming the first wrestler to have held the Triple Crown and IWGP Heavyweight titles during his career. Vader was part of the mass exodus of talent, led by Mitsuharu Misawa in the spring of 2000 to depart All Japan Pro Wrestling with the formation of Pro Wrestling Noah, where he would remain until 2003. Vader continued to wrestle into his 60s, limited by his age and a variety of ailments, the biggest being issues with his heart. He was diagnosed with congenital heart failure in 2016, being told he had 2 years to live. He underwent open heart surgery this past March and another procedure for an irregular heartbeat in May before contracting pneumonia. He died at the age of 63.
You'd have a hard time thinking of someone that worked in such diverse places with such diverse opponents and in such diverse styles. If he'd have come on just a hair earlier, he would have been a huge crossover mainstream star, and he would be remembered by non-fans in the same breath as Stan Hansen.
There are many ways people will memorialize and remember the life of Leon Vader White. He was a world traveler and understood how to get over in so many places, taking his style and customizing elements to the demands of the audience in that part of the world. As a man that would tip the scales at over 400 pounds during his career, yet incorporated moonsaults, he was one of the best to do it, and set a template for future big men as the demands of the in-ring style escalate on a yearly basis.
You know, I think most wrestlers got along pretty well with him. I think he had a temper, but it only came out when he got real mad about something. And again, he was not the kind of guy you want to get mad very often. He was a big, tough, rugged guy.
He worked every single style of contemporaneous pro wrestling that you could possibly ask of someone. He starts in Vern Gagne's AWA. You want me to do some arm drags and you want me to do some hammer locks? No problem.
Out of Colorado, Boulder. Clemson on a side headlock.
He's gaining more confidence all the time in his wrestling ability. He's not been wrestling that long, but when you give him another one or two more years and this man may be a world champion himself.
I'm going to go to CWA. You want me to work quasi-catch wrestling? No problem.
But a tremendous start for Bull Power. He seems hyped up, well, beyond anything I've seen from him before.
Well, I've never seen anything like this. I spoke to this guy in Denver before he left America, and he said that he's never been fitter than he is now. And I tell you what, that is one awesome character in there.
You want me to go to UWFI? Yeah, I got shoot style on lock. Oh, what? It's 1992? I saw the great Muda do a moonsault on cable television? I'm 400 pounds. You want me to do a moonsault? No problem.
Back and forth to go to the top. He's going to do it. Vader on the top rope now.
No!
Look out! A moonsault!
This dude did everything. Watching Vader rip that mask off, that reaction, kiss the fingers. Couldn't do it better.
He was never dull, and he was a handful sometimes. But, you know, he was, but when there's game time, nut cutting time, Big Van Vader was always front and center.
We hope you've enjoyed this post-wrestling presentation of the man they call Vader. A special thank you to Bret Hart, Jim Ross, Chris Charlton, Jordan Breen, and Wei Ting for their assistance with this special.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.